Girls, you'll never know how much joy it brings to me to seeing youth up here in the choir. Thank you. Everybody used to go around asking a question. What would Jesus do? And you know, almost everybody seems to think they have the answer to that question. There are times when our own reasoning tells us that Jesus will do this or do that or not do something. Like, for example, if he's loves as much as he says he loves, then he wouldn't condemn anybody to hell. Left to our own thinking, folks, we quite often are mistaken when we say Jesus will or will not. And then there are the voices of the world that have all the answers and attempt to tell us what Jesus will and won't do, and almost always they're wrong. And then there are times when the enemy, Satan himself, and or his demons plant suggestions in our minds as to what Jesus will or not will not do. But you need to understand that he is a liar and he has our worst interest at heart instead of our best interest like God does. And he will never tell us the truth and we can never trust him. In John chapter, if I turn this on, it'll help you. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires." And here's the description of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But to me, there's nothing greater than to know that the Bible gives us, in Christ's own words, what he will and will not do. This morning, we're going to look at just a few of the I will declarations from the lips of Jesus Christ himself. And I want you to understand that the more you believe him, the more you trust him, the more your doubts will die. You begin to doubt the word of God. You begin to doubt the love of God. You begin to doubt the grace of God, the promises of God, because you're not trusting him. Because you're not depending upon him. But the more you trust him, the more your doubts will die. And so let's look at some things that Jesus himself says that he will do. One of them is if we come to him for salvation, he will receive us. Our jumping off text this morning, John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Do you get that? I will never cast out. Jesus does not turn people away. You may have been turned away by parents or by loved ones or by government officials or by stores or by banks or by anybody else, but the Lord Jesus Christ will not turn you away. Nobody that comes to Him will be turned away. He will save every single one who comes to Him in faith, believing. You know, we experience rejection. Is there anybody in this room? Now, I want to see your hand. Matter of fact, I want you to stand up. Is there anybody in this room that has never experienced rejection? I didn't think so. It comes from friends. It comes from family. It comes from groups. And it hurts. When you're rejected, it hurts. It's painful. I want you to understand, according to the words of Jesus Christ Himself, you will never experience the pain of rejection from Jesus during this time of grace that we live in. I've heard people tell me that their sin is so bad that Christ doesn't want them, that Jesus wouldn't accept them. You just don't know what I've done, preacher. I don't care what you've done. Nothing could be further from the truth than the lie that I've done so many bad things or such a horrible thing that Jesus would never accept me. It is because we are sinners that Jesus Christ wants us. Luke chapter 5, verse 32. I have not come to call righteousness or righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come for the perfect. He didn't come for those that had it all together and were in right standing with God. He came because the world was filled with sinners, and the people of the world were separating from the love and the living God. And Jesus came so that they could be restored, so that we could be restored into a family relationship with God as our Father. Yes. Nothing could be further from the truth than to think I have sinned so much or so bad that He doesn't want me. There is a story that you may have heard. It came from a book called The Revolution of in World Missions, written by K.P. Yohanan, and it goes like this. Many years ago, commerce had been established with the converted cannibalistic people of Fiji. And soon after commerce was established, an atheist businessman found his way to the Fiji Islands, and he was dealing with the chief of the tribe there, and he noticed that there was a Bible laying on the table in the chief's house, and there were other things, trappings of Christianity. And he said to the chief, "I'm amazed that you have paid attention to the nonsense of those Christians that have invaded your world." Chief looked at him and he said, "You see that big white rock over there?" "Yeah." "Well, that rock is where just a few years ago we smashed the heads of our victims so we could get to their brains. And see that huge oven over there? That's where we bake their bodies for our feast. And I can tell you today, had it not been for the nonsense and the foolishness of the Christian missionaries, your head would have already been mashed on that rock and your body would be in that oven getting ready for my supper." So these were peoples that would kill people, much like we would a chicken for supper. Makes me wonder if they made dumplings with it. But this is the kind of people they were. But the story in that book said they had been converted, which means they had come to faith in Jesus Christ, which means they had been drawn to him by the person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, which means that God loved them, which means that Jesus died for them, which means that Jesus came for them, which means that he will turn no one away. Yes. Secondly, he says that if we come to him with our burdens, he will give us rest. You get that? Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, there are days when my mind just needs to stop. There are days when I need to just, and times in a day when I just need to quit thinking because it's running rampant. And it needs some rest in there. And there are times when our emotions get all tied up in knots. And we have anxieties and we have fears and we have worries and we have all this other stuff wrapping around and tying us up and kind of crippling us, and our emotions need to find rest. And there are times when our spirit needs rest. We've been attacked by the world. We've been attacked by the enemy. We've strayed on our own, and our spirit is just feeling defeated or depleted. And we need rest in our spirit. And King Jesus comes to us with a promise that says, I will give you rest. But be careful here. Don't miss the whole message. See the whole thing. In December 1903, after they had tried many, many times, the Wright brothers managed to get their flying machine off of the ground, and they were so thrilled at the results, they telegraphed their sister a message back home in Ohio, and the message said, quote, we have actually flown 120 feet. We will be home for Christmas. And she was just overjoyed at this message, and she took the telegraph down to her friend who was the publisher of the local newspaper, and she showed it to him, and he looked at it and he said, oh, how nice, the boys will be home for Christmas. But he missed something. He missed the entirety of the message. He missed the fact that they had flown 120 feet. When we seek the gift of rest from Jesus Christ, don't forget the new big news. Come to me and I will give. You know, you don't get rest from ABC, NBC, TNT, whatever else it is that explodes in your living room. You don't get rest from that. You don't get rest from, as good as literature is, you don't get rest from War and Peace and Moby Dick and all this other stuff. Jesus says you want rest for your mind and rest for your emotions and rest for your spirit. Bring the burdens, bring the knots, bring the tied up parts, bring the anxieties and the fears and the pains and the distrust and all that goes with it. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. We go to each other. And share things. Some of them are good things. Some of them are tough things. We just sit down and talk about it. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Let's sit down and talk about it. Way back in the Old Testament, God said, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I know that you've been with family and friends when you're weary and worn, and you know how that begins to help you, and that companionship with them gives you a little bit of a lift and a little bit of a rest. Well, Christ activates that very same purpose, principle, and gives us perfect rest and perfect peace. Paul described that peace as the kind of peace that is greater than anything your feeble mind can understand. Goes beyond comprehension. Boy, howdy. We could just stop here and be filled. But let's look at a couple others. Jesus said, if we follow him, he will make us fishers of men. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, I think it's important for us to understand here that we don't make us fishers of men, he does. Got that? We don't make us fishers of men, he does. That means our focus needs to be on him. And when our focus is on him, he'll have us hooking others. Just that simple. Here again, just like people think that he won't forgive them, or he doesn't love them enough to save them, or they've sinned too bad to save them, there are people of the mind that God can't use them. I can't count the number of times somebody in a church who is professing Jesus Christ as Savior, who has been a member of the church, they've been in Bible studies, they've been in prayer meetings, they've been in church 5, 10, 15, 30, 50 years. Oh, God can't use me. The reasons are varied. You know, I'm too young. God can't use me. I'm too old. God can't use me. My health's not good. God can't use me. My health's so good, I got to be working, supporting my family. Do you understand that's the enemy talking It might be your mouth moving, but that's the devil talking. It stands to reason, my friends, that if Jesus Christ will accept any one of us who comes to him in faith, believing, that he will also use any one of us to make himself known to other people.
Yes, he will.
So, with that in mind, the next time that you want to use the excuse that God cannot use you, I want you to think about some people. They're not strangers to you. If they are, they shouldn't be. Noah got drunk. Abraham. We all know what his problem was. He was old. He was just old. He's one of us. And then there was Jacob. He was a liar. And we find Joseph. Interesting fellow, Joseph. He was abused and misused. So, abused and misused people think they're not clean enough to be used. And then there was Moses. And he couldn't talk good. He had a speech problem. And then we find Gideon. He was afraid. Hello. Gideon let fear get on him. Samson. He liked the girls too much. Rahab, she was one of the girls. Not one of Samson's girls, but she was one of the girls. You know, the kind of girls you see down here on South Orange Blossom Trail and other places. David had an affair. Was involved in a conspiracy to commit murder. Elijah, suicidal. Jonah, he was a runner. Not for exercise either. He ran away from God. John the Baptist, he ate bugs. You know, what good to he eats bugs. Peter denied Jesus with cursing. The disciples, you know, Jesus' bunch, they fell asleep while they were praying. Martha, she worried about everything. The Samaritan woman, well, she couldn't be used. She was divorced many times. Zacchaeus, he was short. Not very tall at all. And last but not least, Lazarus. He was dead. Motley crew, huh? But guess what? God used every single one of them to make himself known to other people. Every one of them. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Do not allow yourself to be lied to about being qualified or not being qualified. Don't think that God can't use you. He has a plan. And that plan involves filling you with the person and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, enabling you to do everything He calls you to do. And you're even one of those guys that will say it, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Well, let Him strengthen you and do some of those things that He wants you to be doing. Fourthly, he said, if we acknowledge him to others, he will acknowledge us to the Father. Matthew 10:32, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. When we come to Jesus Christ, when we receive Christ as our Savior, when we give our lives to Him, we are called to go public with that information. Yes. Christianity is not to be a part of our lives. It is to be our life. We don't compartmentalize ourselves into this is my Christian life and this is my Monday through Saturday life. Doesn't work that way. If I have a Christian life, it is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And if it's not 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, it's very likely I don't have a Christian life at all. I've been kidding myself. God's word challenges us, and it challenges us with the question we find all the way back in Exodus chapter 32. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. Who is on the Lord's side? He said. The question is, are you willing to be identified with Jesus Christ every day, every hour, every minute, no matter where you are or who you are with? Yes. Are you willing for them to know that you love Jesus Christ and He has redeemed you? I'm going to use a term that may shock you. Because in our culture, in our time, it's not usually associated with the church or with Christianity. But understanding that when we come to Jesus Christ and He becomes our Redeemer and we have that new life experience, and we are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God is in fact my Father. Understanding that that places us in a position that we then must go public. It's time for God's children. It's time for the redeemed to come out. It's time for us to quit hiding in the walls of the church. It's time for us to quit hiding in our living rooms. It's time for us to quit being anemic and to be Christians, to be as Christian over here in Walmart as you want to be when you're here. And the world's not seeing that. But it needs to. One more I will statement. Or better said, an I will not statement as we wrap this up today. He will never leave us, but He will come to us. John 14:18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. You may be familiar with the King James translation of that verse, which says, He will not leave us comfortless. And that is a decent translation, but the ESV translation that I'm using here today is in fact more literal than the KJV in this particular instance. The Greek word here that is translated comfortless in the King James and orphans here is the Greek word orphanos, and that literally translates to the word orphan. And so he's saying to you, I will not leave you as an orphan. Now, an orphan, the term orphan depicts children who have been left parentless for some reason. Sometimes people become orphans because their parents die. Sometimes people become orphans because their parents desert them. Sometimes people become orphans because their parents don't have the ability to parent them. And I will tell you, that's more rampant in our nation than you can believe. Since Jesus will never die, hear me? Jesus will never die. And he's promised that he will never desert us. Amen. And since he is the all-powerful one, he never will be unable or incapable of caring for us. That means there will never be a time when he does not care about us. That means that we can never, ever, ever, ever be left as spiritual orphans. That means that there will never be a time when he doesn't love us. That there will never be a time that he won't or can't provide for us. And there will never be a time when he won't or can't watch over us.
Yes.
Wow. The psalmist says, For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. He's going to take me in. So let me ask you, are you letting him hold you close right now? I mean, right now. Or are you standing back, peeping around the corner, scared and afraid? Afraid he might not accept you. Are you standing back, peeping around the corner because you've been hurt too many times and the pain that you are feeling is just so great? Guys, that brings us to the time when we absolutely have to answer some questions. So let's think about these. Will you let him hold you close right now? Will you be open to the Spirit of God wrapping you up in His grace and His love and His strength and His power and His peace and His encouragement. I look back there and see Nick and Jessica sitting back there, and they have two of my most favorite children in the world. And it doesn't matter, or at least it doesn't seem to matter, where I am, what I'm doing, who I may be conversing with. If one of those two children see me from across the room, they're coming to me. And they know, Charles, that it doesn't matter whether you and I are in deep conversation or not. They know that when they get there, I may not turn and speak to them, but I'm going to reach out and grab them around the waist or around the shoulder and pull them close to me and embrace them. Jesus wants you to know, no matter what He's doing, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, when you come to Him, He's going to wrap His arm around you and pull you close and embrace you. And when Dominic and Jayla come to me and I wrap my arm around them and keep on talking, I don't have to tell them I love them. They know it. They feel it. They feel it in that arm and they feel it in that embrace. Now, most of the time, somewhere along the way there, I'll tell them that. Are you so close to Jesus that you feel His embrace? He wants you to right now. Will you let Him hold you close? Secondly, will you bring Him your burdens and your weariness? Will you be humble enough to admit to Him, I need you? I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. Will you be humble enough to tell Him, I need you now?
Yes, right.
As much or more than I've ever needed. And if perchance you're sitting in here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're sitting here without the assurance in your mind and your heart that if you were to die before the clock strikes 12, that you don't know that for sure that you would go to heaven. I want you to know that He wants you to be sure of that. And so will you come to Him just as you are, believing that He will receive you as one of His own? Will you be born again? Will you experience His forgiveness and new life today? See, He has that gift for you. And on the authority of God's word, I can tell you that you have not been so bad that He doesn't want to save you.
Yes. Yes.
So will you come? Father, I, I'm overwhelmed by your grace. I'm overwhelmed by your love. By your presence in this place. By your presence in my life. I'm overwhelmed by the fact that you would save one like me. And that you would want to wrap your arms of love around me. But oh, so thankful. Oh, so thankful. So would you continue to speak to hearts today? Would you just absolutely block the enemy from this place in these minutes? Would you empower people to stand for you? Would you call the lost? Would you strengthen the redeemed? Would you lift the burden? To heal the heartache? For we ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Folks, I don't care what's going on in your life right now. I want you to forget about everything else. I want you to hear God speaking to your heart, saying, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I want you to take a stand. I want you to come out in faith believing and bring that burden, bring that heaviness, bring that heartache to God, and let him have it. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. I've got others that will pray with you. If you've not accepted Christ as your Savior today, I plead with you not to go out of this place unless you know for sure that God has saved you through Jesus Christ.